This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
I watched a little preseason football last night, Mike, and I'm not ashamed of it. I know you're going to hate me because I watched the Raiders. Raiders-Texans. I mean, I'm seeing dudes that are definitely not going to make that team in the second half. But I'm going to get into that a little bit later on. Fernando Mendoza is an interesting cat, Mike. Interesting dude. Latest on the NCAA. That fifth-year thing for the 2022 guys, not going to happen now. Not going to happen. Snip, snap. Brian Howell's going to join us today. Talk some Colorado Buffaloes. If we can get along, I think. Projected 53-man roster, Michael. I did my homework. And we'll go through that today, too. It's going to be a fun one. Keep it here, because the whole show starts right now. To the whole show. I'm Brady Hull. We've got Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Michael, this is the last Friday of no picks. We officially enter... don't play it anymore, please. No more. We officially enter...
I was going to your little selection thing. I wasn't going to play it.
You're not
going
to play it? Well, now I kind of want you to play because I feel bad. Go ahead and play it.
What do you mean, everyone?
Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
I was just going to your tab because I was on Good Morning NoCo's tab.
Oh, I get you. I know, but you're sneaky, Mike. You're sneaky, and I don't know if I trust you. Shifty back there. Are you excited, though? Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. That officially returns next Friday.
You
don't seem as excited as I am for this because this is the final day. The final Friday of this is the final week of no lead-in because we have the UNC Bears playing football next Friday night. Under the lights at Nottingham Field.
So are you picking us to pick next week?
Am I predicting that we will make picks next week? Yeah. Well, you won't make picks. Nobody cares about your picks. No. It's not even if this
we're picking that you're going to pick.
Even if this were a Picks Are on Friday, everybody knows that, Friday, we wouldn't be doing that right now. We build up as the show goes, and then we make our pick. I make my pick. And I'm telling you, my record is going to be off the charts this year. It's going to be amazing. I don't know if I'll lose any, to be honest with you, Mike.
Are they going to go off the charts good or off the charts bad?
Off the charts good. This is
your Mr. Thursday has struggled.
That we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that one as much. When we get to Thursday, the Thursday night special, Mr. Thursday night. They don't call me that for no reason, Michael. I am Mr. Thursday night. Is that the Thursday night deal?
Lord of the Rings.
Yes. Every year. Well, we added a new twist to it last year with Brian Gary doing the intro songs. Those were amazing, Mike.
I think I still have, one of those.
Do you have the Thanksgiving one he did? I want to start this show off with a bang. Can you find the Thanksgiving one? Is this one of Brian's?
It is.
Gonna grab my Brady, gonna hold him tight.
Guys are
grab
so good.
Mr. Thursday night.
That returns
his
soon, too.
Friday, everyone knows that. And if you're ordering some ribs, he likes the baby backs. When
God,
they're kind of sticky and the sauce sticks on his fingers.
I forgot how good these were.
Mike is always there to see if he can help and have a leg. Rams and Seahawks playing on this Thursday night. Looking forward to seeing
that return.
Get it right. Shove the football through your legs when the quarterback says hike. And the thought of doing that is getting me excited. Footballs are in flight.
That's Derbs and Tanner back there.
Oh,
man, that fires me up. That fires me up. Can you find the Thanksgiving one?
It may have been written over.
No. That I want to enter for a Colorado Broadcasters Association Award. And we
didn't. Too late.
We could change the date on it and say it happened this year.
Play it again. Do a different one.
My favorite is when Brian involves the two idiots down the hall and has them singing backup vocals. Because you can just picture that happen. Like, you picture that.
Yeah, but my only problem with this one is he didn't, like, take the pitch way off the charts high.
That was really good. Can you dig and see if we have the Thanksgiving one? That would make my day if you could find it.
I'll see, okay. But I'm not sure if I have
it. It's the turkey gobble at the end. Faith even said the turkey gobble was one of the best. That was my favorite one because I died laughing for weeks after that.
You know what my favorite one was?
What do you mean everyone?
Everyone!
It's not even a song. That's just something you found. Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. Michael, Nikola Jokic was asked yesterday about the Peyton Watson trade after Joker played yesterday for Serbia. They beat France. Joker out-duels Wemby. Joker had 20 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. He was asked about the Watson trade, and here's what he said. I'm happy for Peyton. He deserved it. We will miss his energy and skill. I don't think about the season yet. We have to play this, but it's going to be okay. Do you think he like knew that Nuggets fans were freaking out yesterday? Because for him to say it like that, it's going to be okay. Is it, Joker? Is it going to be okay?
He's just going to have to take the whole team on his shoulders even more this time and a pay cut.
He's not going to take a pay cut. Why are you a person? Why would you ask the best player on the planet to take a pay cut? You're not going to do that. No,
I'm going to do that.
No,
but I have no
that's
authority.
Why you wouldn't manage anything. You can barely manage that little hole of an office you have back there. I mean, I like to hear him say it. I'm glad he said it. You know, it's going to be okay. And so I tweeted it out last night and posted it, and people were asking, like, hey, why is this Peyton Watson thing such a disaster? It's not really the Watson thing that is a disaster to me. It's the lack of anything over the offseason. I know. They were handcuffed, man. They couldn't make a lot of moves. I would have liked to see a push to keep Tim Hardaway Jr. here, but I don't know how that went down. I don't know if he wanted to be a Nugget, if he saw the writing on the wall, wanted to go elsewhere. I really don't know. Wanted to go to Miami. The Big Val thing was kind of out of their control because we knew this last year that he was going to go play over in Greece. That was a disappointing situation where we didn't even think we were going to get him last year. And I know he wasn't like amazing for Denver, but he was a decent backup center, maybe one of the better backup centers the Nuggets have had in the Joker era. I guess you could throw Yusuf Nurkic in there, but once he was demoted to backup, he wanted out of Denver pretty quickly. That was a wild time. That was supposed, you know, he was supposed to be the plan, Michael. Yusuf Nurkic was supposed to be the plan at center. They drafted Joker in the second round. This was a, hey, we think this guy might be okay. And then as Joker started to get better, they paired them together, started Yusuf at center and Joker power forward. That didn't work. And then the decision was made, we're going to start Joker. And Nurkic was not happy about it and wanted to be traded. The Nuggets made the right call there. They've made a lot of right calls. I know yesterday was the bashing of the Kroenkes in the offices of Tenzer and Wallace. But they have made some decent moves. And they were kind of in a tough situation because of moves that they made. That's why we couldn't really see much of an offseason this year. But it would have been nice to at least build. Because this time last year, we were pumped, right? Oh, they traded Michael Porter Jr. They made room. They got Tim Hardaway Jr. They're bringing Bruce Brown back. They're bringing Big Val over to be a backup center. This thing looks loaded suddenly. And then we never really got to see it because of the injuries. We never really got to see this group fully together. And that's, I think that's what's disappointing to me. And they brought Cam Johnson in. And I keep hearing people say, like, should have traded Cam, not Peyton Watson. Peyton didn't want to be here, Mike. Read between the lines. He might say all the right things when he's in Cleveland. He might say, oh, I love that organization. It's great. I'll miss those guys. He might. But we know. He wasn't thrilled with the fact that Christian Brown got that contract first. He didn't like the offer that the Nuggets made him. So he was on borrowed time with the Nuggets. That wasn't going to work. So the idea of trading Cam Johnson to make room for Watson, I guess they could have traded Cam and then offered Watson the 22. And that maybe is where the real debate is. Should the Nuggets have found a way to give him $22 million a year? Because what we hear they offered him was $14 million a year. If that's the case, then you lost him. You didn't take the gamble. And we'll see if Peyton Watson turns out to be a great player. He's very athletic. You can't tell me, I guess you can't tell me that the Nuggets got better. It doesn't mean I'm saying that they can't win a championship this year. I'm not gambling on it. I'm not betting on it. They will be a playoff team. And if everybody's healthy by the time the playoffs start, they're going to have a shot. Maybe a small shot, but they'll have a shot. Joker's telling us, though, Mike, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I remember, it reminded me so much, my brother back in the day, Mike, diehard Broncos fan like you. Like, seriously, his moods would change if they would lose. And then I started to get like that in high school. And he would, like, have to console me because I was down after the Broncos would lose a game. Didn't even want to go to school on Monday. I remember just looking over at my brother after a loss, and my brother would just look at me, those big blue eyes, and say, it's going to be okay. And somehow I felt better. It wasn't really always okay, but I felt better after that. So Joker kind of reminded me of my brother in that instance last night, saying, hey, guys, it's going to be okay. I wonder if he knew that Nuggets Nation was freaking out yesterday.
I used to get really up and down during Broncos games, and I'd allow that to manage my mood. But then my niece was born, and I'm like, ah, I'm an uncle. So I think about that if the Broncos lose.
Yep, good for you. There are other things outside of the Broncos, Mike. I know that seems impossible.
Like being an uncle.
Like impossible for your brain to understand, but there are things. There are some things. Here's the thing. I'm not going to freak out anymore about Joker leaving. I don't think he's leaving. Don't know that for sure, but I don't think he's going to go play basketball for another team. He has said it over and over and over again. It's just immediate. You know, I get it. We keep asking. This reporter yesterday in Serbia, because he said it in Serbian, asked him specifically about Peyton Watson, because I think everybody wants to know, what does he think about it? For him to say it's going to be okay, for him to even answer that question, he's literally walking off the floor, sweating his butt off, in his uniform, and he's asked about what his thoughts are on something that's happening in America when he's focused on what's happening in Serbia right now, or what's happening for Team Serbia. They had a great game. It's just people that say the guy doesn't care about basketball. Dude, he's always playing basketball. He never turns down Serbia. He's always playing basketball. And he looked good. Almost triple-double for him. Pretty easy work. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Did you find it? Did you find it?
Maybe.
Let's play it. Dude, this is a legendary Thursday night special. This is one of my favorite one. This is my favorite one. Yes. It's so good, Mike. How long is this, by the way?
About a minute.
Okay. Oh, it's only a minute? Yeah, Brian packs a punch on these things. Here we go.
Brady picks games on Thanksgiving. Three games. One do, three games, great food, Detroit, Green Bay, Joe Burrow will play, Dallas or Casey, here's Mr. Thursday, Brady Hall's here, our football hero, oven is on, the turkeys go.
Oh, Mike, that is the best one. That is, how is he going to top that? Is there any way he can top that? He put together some great work. That was my favorite one by far, though.
I have some ideas that I can send him.
He's not going to listen to your ideas.
He never does.
He does his own thing.
Like I came up with an idea, and he's like, well, that's a really good idea. And then he went with something
better. Great artists, you have to let them create. You can't give them suggestions. They have to create it.
If you look at a lot of the great artists out there, you notice that they don't write their own songs.
Well, I notice that some of the great ones do. So how about that?
Like the Metallicas.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. 21 minutes after the hour, the latest in the NCAA. That one takes another turn. And again, Brock Wisney is like in the center of all this. He's in Spain now. He's probably happy to get away from it, to be honest. But we'll get into it. We got some developments from that story we'll touch on here in just a minute. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
It's here.
I'm telling you, it's here.
The Broncos are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Broncos playing tonight, Michael. Preseason game 2 against the Green Bay Packers, and we're told we will see Bo Nix play a little tonight. How much do we see him? Like a series? Not
probably,
much, man.
Probably most of the first quarter, I think. That's what
really?
I
you go the entire first quarter?
Not the entire first quarter. A couple of drives. If he's playing terribly, I'd put him in a third time. But like, I'm guessing just two drives and out.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to see a ton of Bo Nix tonight. But is it important? How important is it tonight to see some positives come from him?
It's important for the media that are still worried about his ankle. I think it's probably just a warm-up. That's what I would do.
If he comes out and he's not great tonight, is there any kind of – I don't think there's any – I just don't have panic. I mean last year he wasn't great in the preseason, right?
Yeah, how great was he last year? Not really.
Not really.
But like,
it's more about just getting out there.
You've got new weapons now. You've got healthy weapons.
I think I'm really interested in the Jalen Waddle, Cortland Sutton. We talked about that yesterday. And how that's really going to open up Bo's game. Again, I still think they need to commit to the run game. I think they're going to do that. I want to go through kind of some ideas, glances of, we'll go through the players too with like the projected 53, but just kind of the number per position that I think they're going to actually go with.
I'm really excited to hear your running back room and your linebacker room.
Linebacker room. Yep. Well, tight end room. Wide receiver. There's a lot to be focused on in a game like tonight when it comes to some of these dudes.
I think the quarterback room is probably the most obvious one.
Why is it?
Yes.
They're carrying three?
I don't think they're going to carry Ellinger.
Really?
I think he's going to be on the practice squad.
Of all
so
the
he'll
years.
He'll probably get an offer.
Of all the years to carry. Now, keep in mind, he wanted to come back to Denver. He had some opportunities to go elsewhere and maybe legitimately compete for a second string job.
And if things,
but he
had
loves
gone,
it in Denver.
Things that got really bad in that New England game, he would have had a chance to play then.
Was he's a backup in that game, but they didn't go to him.
I don't think
that guy out in the blizzard. It's not going to matter at that point who your quarterback is once the blizzard started up.
Yeah, I think if the Broncos had had a better running game, like three really good backs. I think this is going to be a better
Dobbins,
judgment of what the Broncos are because they're
JK,
playing a team that's supposed to be legit.
Yeah, I get you. If J.K. Dobbins plays in that AFC Championship game, I don't know if it changes things. Maybe. I mean, we forget how good of a season he was having before he got hurt.
It would have been an impact season.
Yeah.
Because the big criticism was they're not running the ball. They're not running the ball. And yet, when he was on the field and he was running the ball, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I have more confidence in the running back room, period. I mean, all the running backs last game ran pretty well. Again, the Falcons. Again,
a lot of dudes were running the ball last week. I'm pretty confident in the running back room. I mean, this does kind of have everything we're seeing, everything we're hearing about at training camp or whatever we're calling it now, still training camp. It does appear that this team should be a favorite to win it all this year. They should be a favorite, but not maybe as favored as a team like the Los Angeles Rams at this stage. But it's a very balanced football team. And I just think it's going to be a tough road in that first six weeks for Denver. But I know it's preseason. Hey, there it is. We got there. After seeing what we saw last week, and if we can follow that up against Green Bay in a preseason game, then, yeah, it puts my mind at ease thinking it's not going to be a disastrous start. You just frown at that. Like, you just scoff at it and just, like, you act like it's not a thing. They have a tough schedule. They have a tough schedule. They have a tough schedule. The first 6 weeks are going to be very difficult. If they come out of that well over the 500 mark, then yeah, you book your tickets to the Super Bowl. If they win them all, then yeah, they're going to roll.
Do you recall a history of anyone having a shockingly difficult first half of the year? Shockingly difficult as this one is?
Not in recent memory. I mean, this is a very tough one. I think it's one of the more difficult schedules I've seen. Just the way it lines up, too. It'd be different if they were scattered throughout the schedule. But that first, the start, man, I mean, to get hit with that early, it puts the pressure on instantly. Because if you are under 500 after this, which is totally possible, by the way, then you spend the rest of the season trying to make up for it. The Broncos did sign someone yesterday, veteran safety Taylor Rapp, onto the roster. He was a second-round pick out of Washington. What is it with these Washington guys, man? We got Jonah Coleman. We got Taylor Rapp now. We got Jim Mora.
Yeah, usually it's the Washington Huskies players go to teams that I really hate.
Taylor Rapp? I don't know. Pretty interesting. Depth guy, for sure. More of an insurance dude that will be behind Hufanga and Brandon Jones. But that was kind of a pickup I didn't really see coming. We'll take that. He's been in the league a little bit. I think this is good. Now, they made room for him. They did waive linebacker Lavelle Bailey, according to Mike Kliss. And he's going to revert to the season-ending IR list after suffering a broken leg in the game versus the Falcons. Rapp is 28 years old. Former second-round pick in the 2019 NFL draft by the Rams. Experienced guy. Started a lot of games. He spent time with the Rams. Just recently was with the Buffalo Bills. He appeared in 93 games. Started in 72 of those games. He appeared in 6 games for the Bills last year before a knee injury ended his season. He was placed on the injured reserve. It's just a nice depth piece over, P.J. Locke was your depth guy before. It does seem like they kind of upgraded that room if he could stay healthy. So I'm pumped about that. 32 minutes after the hour. Changes for the NCAA. Court halts order. Denies extra year of eligibility. Snip, snap. And Dan Murphy reports this for ESPN. We'll get to that coming up next. What does that mean going forward? It is a wild ride, man, and we're here for it. Keep it here on the whole show. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, A neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Big one tonight, Michael. We start our high school football broadcast season. Valley and Platte Valley going at it tonight. Kyle Johnson will be setting the table for you with football night in Northern Colorado at 5 o'clock. That will lead us to pregame coverage of Valley Platte Valley at 6:30 with a 7 o'clock kickoff. Jerry Schimmel, the one and only Jerry Schimmel, and Bruce Dick will be on the call, Mike. And, of course, you'll be running the board, ready to go. Friday Night Lights are back, and we are pumped about this one coming up tonight.
Crossing my fingers that Fubo TV records the Broncos.
All right. Okay. Glad that was mentioned. I'm glad that that was a part of that promotion for the game tonight. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. The NCAA won an important battle Friday which is Friday, Mike. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. Ongoing legal war to determine who should be allowed to play college sports in the upcoming season. The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals granted the NCAA a stay Friday morning in an order that reverses the federal judge's decision that previously opened the door for all athletes who started college in 2022-23 academic year and played for four consecutive seasons to return for a fifth year. The stay does not wipe out the dozens of athletes who have successfully petitioned for restraining orders to play a fifth season in a state court around the country. So I am so damn confused by this. So it's a stay, which means things are going to stay the same as they were before we were told the NCAA lost this battle. But yet the ones that have already petitioned for restraining orders to play a fifth season, that's still okay. I don't get it. The appeals court decision, according to Dan Murphy of ESPN, the appeals court decision could spark more lawsuits, restraining order requests, and confusion with only 2 weeks remaining before college football season begins in full force. NCAA Chief Legal Officer Scott Bierby sent a letter to schools Friday afternoon saying the association plans to fight against other legal rulings that have allowed similarly situated players back into college sports. Here's the quote. The association will separately continue to defend other similar class action lawsuits and the state court cases that have been filed by former student athletes seeking additional eligibility and appeal any cases where former student athletes have or will be granted additional eligibility through separate state court rulings. Why are they fighting so hard for this? Like, they are fighting tooth and nail for that 1 year. Because there's still the 5-for-5 thing is done. It's still happening. It's just we're arguing about the class of the entered class of 22-23.
Are they just upset that they haven't gotten a win yet?
I don't know, but they're really, this is the hard, I mean, at least publicly. Now, they fought pretty damn hard over the name, image, and likeness stuff for a while, Mike. That was a pretty significant battle that they lost. But I don't understand this whole deal. It's out of control. Get this story, Mike. Along with that, former Bronco went to college at Utah. Blake Cotton, former Bronco, okay, enters NCAA transfer portal. This from On3, former Denver Broncos cornerback Blake Cotton played for Utah last season, is entering the NCAA transfer portal. He's a member of the 2022 players who were granted a year of eligibility after a ruling made by a Louisiana judge.
You already signed a contract.
He signed with the Broncos in June following the conclusion of the team's offseason program. Denver then released Cotton earlier this month with an injury settlement after being placed on injured reserve. After signing with the Broncos, Cotton reacted to joining the team, said it was very exciting, blah, blah, blah. The Broncos had been interested in me before the draft, and then when I got to camp, I felt I did well. It was just simply being myself and not overthinking, blah, 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 blah. So this is another, like these stories we talked about yesterday, he's one of those guys where, because you brought it up and you said, hey, if this is a Bronco, he signed a contract in the NFL, gets cut, and now is putting his name in the transfer portal. Nobody's going to touch that, right? No school's going to touch that. You can't make it up. So I get why the NCAA is trying to fight. Because this is crazy. This stuff is crazy. You can't be having guys say, I'm leaving. I'm signing professional contracts. Oh, it didn't work out. I guess I'll go back to college. That's the part that I really side with the NCAA on. When I say it, there are consequences for what you do. This is why it is a very difficult decision. You think you're good enough to leave college and enter and become a pro, but you still have a year of eligibility left? Or in this case, he didn't know he had a year of eligibility left, so he's just like, screw it, I'm entering the portal, I have a year of eligibility. You signed the contract, and I don't care that you didn't know. Same as I said yesterday, I don't care that you didn't know. You signed a contract. That part to me is easy.
Feels like he's treating this like just a regular job. Oh, I worked for Safeway, then I went to King Soopers, didn't like it there, so now I'm going to work for Safeway. You can do that. But in the NFL and college football,
you were
not a professional, then you sign a contract, become professional.
Is this why the NCAA is fighting so hard on this? Because they don't want all these players that signed professional contracts go, well, wait a second, I'm not going to make the team, so I'll just go back to college. I'll just enter now. The timing of this has just been an absolute mess. And if they were smart, they would have just said, it is active now. And if you played four straight seasons, then you get a fifth year. Talk to compliance. Simple as that. If you are in Brock Wisney's case, he started, he played as a freshman, then as a sophomore, then as a junior, then as a senior. He didn't have any kind of red shirts or anything like that. So you go to his case specifically and say, yes, you would be able to take advantage of this. If you've played four straight years, then you would get a fifth year. Why didn't the NCAA just do that? You don't even have to say the year. You don't even have to go to 2022. Just say, check with compliance. If you played 4 years without any injury red shirt, freshman red shirt, anything like that, then you would be eligible for a fifth year. Check with compliance. Compliance would look at it and say, okay, yeah, Brock Wisney, looks like you played four straight years. No weird things, no off seasons. You're eligible. But instead, they decided to draw a line and say from the year of 23-24 beyond. So anybody that's in college now. And then the timing of it was bad. It's a good idea. It's a good thing that they're doing. This is a good thing for college. Screws over the preps kids for 1 year, but then that will balance out eventually. But tell that to the current class that's going to get screwed over. Because there's going to be guys that are staying longer, and maybe they were being heavily recruited, and now those guys are going, well, actually, we don't need you as much for this final year, especially in basketball, when you can only have whatever the roster limit is, 14, 15 guys.
Yeah, keep in mind, children, there are Division II schools and other leagues you can do, so I know that screwing over somebody... I just wonder if it had to happen. 1 year, your roster can be
right.
A couple kids more.
Yeah.
Like, just to make up for this.
Make up for it. You get, because those guys are only going to have 1 year anyway. So then you got these guys now starting. They'll have 5 years. So that first year, you might not use them. There's no redshirt thing anymore. There's no redshirt freshman. There's no redshirt injury. None of that stuff. But the NCAA just completely screwed this up. Even when they come up with a good idea... They messed it up. I don't think we realized how much they messed it up at the time this was released. And then you do. You get the Brock Wisneys of the world going, wait a second, how's that fair? You know, these guys are all getting a fifth year because they're currently playing. I'm done, but I wasn't offered that. I played four straight years. Now, obviously, you can't go back too far and start doctoring everybody, but if you played 4 years, you would have a fifth year of eligibility. It just makes sense. And now the NCAA, or now we've got a court, courts are coming out saying, yeah, no, we're going to go back to the way it was originally. And the NCAA saying, we're going to fight all these individual cases that are happening, and they should fight some of them. There's no reason Blake Cotton should be able to play college football anymore. I'm sorry. He shouldn't be. You don't get I signed a professional contract. I'm an NFL guy now. Oh, I didn't make the team. Darn it. I'll just go back to college. On August 21st, enter the portal. There's probably teams that would love to have him. He was good. There's teams that would love to have him, but I wouldn't touch that. And teams that are picking these guys up, they're going to be subject to something, Mike. It's going to be kind of like the Sorsby thing. Like, hey, we can't legally tell you not to. Well, now they can. All these guys that have won cases, though, individual cases, so far they have these restraining orders. It's allowing them to still do it, even though the courts are coming out today and saying, yeah, no, we're going back to the original plan of the 5 for 5, and we're not messing with the 2022-2023 class. But the ones that have already won are still eligible to go back and play. But the NCAA is saying, no, we're going to go fight those individually. So if you're a team and you sign one of those guys, better be careful, because you might get punished by the NCAA. Travis, the new guy, says it's like the reverse scenario of the Sorsby thing. Kind of, but it's also very similar. Where the NCAA is saying, no, that guy shouldn't be able to play because he gambled on sports, gambled on his own team. But a local judge comes out and says, actually, no, he can play. He can play. Well, fine. But the NCAA or the conference can do something, which they were seriously considering, right? They were seriously considering doing something to Texas Tech. Whether that was saying, hey, you're not eligible for a championship game, you're basically suspended from your games meaning anything this year, no bowl games, nothing like that. And then finally, it was just understood between Texas Tech and Sorsby, but guys, this is a mess. It's going to make us look bad. It's going to make you look bad. This is awful. Let's all walk away from this. And there was probably a settlement. There was probably a dollar amount of NIL money.
They probably promised him some money. He probably got that, and they had to bite the bullet on that one.
Yeah, oh, I think they did. But this has been a weird summer in the NCAA, Mike. Travis, the new guy, oh, I know the same thing. It's just funny, one guy couldn't make it in college, so he went to go to the NFL. One guy couldn't make it in the NFL, so he wants to go to college. Yeah, I get what you're saying there. Yeah. No, we can't allow guys to say, oh, I'm just going to dip my toes and see if I'm good enough to play in the NFL. That's why they have, like, basketball's better about this, I think, because in college, Mike, you can go to draft workouts. David Roddy did it. Isaiah Stevens did it. I think Nick Clifford did it. You can go to workouts, like pre-draft workouts, get evaluated. You can enroll your name into that and still be a college athlete. So that is, so they can go show them their stuff. A scout comes in and says, hey, dude, you're probably a draft pick. You're probably a draft pick this year. Or, yeah, man, you're not quite there. You got to work on some things. Nick Clifford was one of those guys. They told him that. You got a few things you need to work on. And so he stayed at CSU. That's how to do it. Football's a little more difficult than that because it's pretty much cut and dry. Declare for the draft. Once you declare for the draft, you sign on the dotted line, you're in. If you don't get drafted, tough. Should those rules be relaxed a little bit? I like the basketball thing. What they do in basketball works perfectly.
I think that they need to do more to tell these kids, hey, you will make it, you will not make it. Like in all sports, so you don't have this happen again.
But you just don't know. But you just don't know. We thought Shedeur Sanders was going to be a top five pick.
Some people didn't. There were some.
Yeah, but most people didn't. Certainly didn't have him falling out of the first, second, third, fourth rounds.
I think some of that had to do with his attitude. But how much of his criticism, like the criticism on him, like was counteracted by Prime saying, "Oh, he's going to be the best quarterback."
Yeah, it's an odd thing, and this whole thing is odd. 11:52 the time. We'll take a short break here. Wrap up hour number one. We got top stories of the day. There's other stories outside of just the NCAA today, so we'll get to those a little bit later on. The projected 53. Let's take a look at it. Give a crack at it, what this roster might look like ahead of preseason game number two between the Green Bay Packers. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Front Range Spare Change returns for the 2026 football season. Find podcasts on 1310KFK.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310KFK.
Top stories of the day are coming up next, presented by Aloe Fiber. So we'll hit that. We'll get into the Broncos, projected 53. Brian Howell set to join us in the final hour of the show. Talk some Colorado Buffaloes. What's going on? It's Coach Prime and the subpoena and the papers. All of it. Keep it here on the whole show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.